Amen.
Well, this morning, I want you first, if start out, that if you would turn to, this is Deuteronomy chapter 8. This isn't the text for this morning, but I want to start out, and you'll see why in a few minutes, but in talking in the Old Testament. But what better time for us to celebrate and not really celebrate, but to observe. And we do celebrate because because of this that we this observance today. It's because of that we have hope. And Jesus told us, remember my sacrifice. Remember me when you come together. And especially at this time, this ordinance that we do this morning. This last year, if you remember, we started a journey of faith back in, I think it was in January last year, maybe February, but of having a level of faith that believing God, that not just believing in God, but believing Him. We talked about moving out of the wilderness and of this world and living in the promised land, living in God's love and being obedient to Him. Asking to be in the center of His will. And this new year, as we look at a new year, January is almost gone already, but the new year is rolling right along. But what better time than this? Can you imagine when you say that 2025? Scary, isn't it? I can remember thinking, if we ever get to 2000, but man, 25 years into the 2000. But remembering who He said He is, and He can do what He said He can do. Aren't you glad of that today? We just don't sing about Him. We know that there's power in that name. And I'm so glad I know Him today. I know that power is available. Well, we're not going to stand for this. I just want to give this passage to you, part of it. We're going to start in verse 6 in chapter 8. But living in God's love and being obedient to Him, asking to be in the center of His will, is where we need to be as we face this new year, remembering that. And so look at, just follow along with me. We're going to read down to about verse 17, I think. But therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments. Now, this is Moses, through the Holy Spirit, is speaking to the people of Israel, and he says, commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and depths that spring out, and valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in the land, whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built godly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart will be lifted up, and thou shalt, and here's what we're doing. This morning we're talking about remembering. And the Jewish people, God was constantly bringing before them the reasons, the feast, everything was about remembering. He says, forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of sin, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water. Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do good at the latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power, here it is. We say, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power and great wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God told Israel of the importance of memory. He warned the people that when they possessed the abundant blessings of the promised land, they were not to forget what he had done. Not to forget what he, as the only one and the only true God, what he demanded of them. This past week, if you know, I noticed this was great. There's a lot of things going on. I heard some people talking about man is going to bring in the golden age. You know, when I first heard that, I thought, great. We need a golden age. We've had a rough time. We need that. But see, it is God who is the giver of the ability to produce wealth. In verse 18, it says, Moses warns the people about the perils of prosperity. Do you know America's prosperity has in many ways been a spiritual curse? I was just reading as the Israelites, the more wealth they got, the less they needed God. You know, I'm America's prosperity, you know, is something we all hope for in a lot of ways, but I'm not against what's happening, that cancer might be cured with all the wonderful AI things that are happening and the money they're going to pour into all that. A little fearful about what's really going to be the end result, because I think the book of Revelation has some hints as to what might happen. Pretty strong hints. But we love to see the poor being fed and all of the suffering, lots of suffering today. I'm not against healing of all that. But in Israel's prosperity, they forgot the chastening hand. And they had sinned, and they forgetting that God would lead them out of that sin. But they kept heading their way. So in their prosperity and blessing in the land of milk and honey, they became self-sufficient, thinking that their own strength had accomplished all the things that they had. Is this sin not with us today? When times are hard, we have to depend on God, don't we? And our daily needs. And we remember to obey him. But when times are going well, we have more than we need. We become so self-sufficient, and we tend to forget God. It is as true today as it was for the Israelites. It's not simply by the sweat of our brow or by the skill of our hands that we acquire wealth and possessions. In verse 17, it says, my power and my might. We should not take pride in ourselves, but rather we should remember that God, what God has done for us, and praise him for his rich blessings. In verse 10, it says, the Lord God hath given this to thee. Sometimes God has to chasten us and to remind us who's in control of the wealth of this world. And God admonishes us over and over in his word to remember. In Judges chapter 2, he has the children of Israel put 12 stones, if you remember, 12 stones from the riverbed of the Jordan as a memorial for them to remember his holding back the river for them to enter the promised land. He says, look at these stones. Forever remember these stones. It is God who allowed you to get across that river. Our problem is that we forget what we should remember. Isn't that true, Sherry? This past week, I had a lot of trouble. I was forgetting what I should remember. And I think the older we get, the more excuses we have, right? Thank God for excuses, huh? History has a way of being distorted by man. And if we don't take time to remember, thank God the Holy Spirit for preserving the truth of the Word of God. Today, we have a famine of truth in the world. Now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 22, and this is our passage for today, Luke 22. In Luke 22, God's going to, he says, go, in verse 8, he says, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover in remembrance of that occasion. We have come together here this morning to share the cup and the loaf and to know the power of the new covenant. Aren't you glad there's a new covenant? Aren't you glad we don't have some bulls and goats back there getting ready to be slaughtered? That'd be a mess. We have a new covenant. I want you, if you would stand for this, if you're able, we're going to stand. We're going to read verses 9 through 20, Luke 22. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 7. So then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he, being Jesus, sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall be a man to meet you, bearing a pitcher of water, and follow him into the house where he entereth. Now, how'd that man know to be there? I'm sure Jesus texted him and told him to be there. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is this the great chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and they found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Boy. I wonder what they thought when he said that. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise also he took the cup, supping, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your presence as we come to celebrate your love for us. As you were with your friends in the upper room, we give thanks for your presence with us here this morning. And Lord, we want to remember as we are to remember. May our hearts be open to the reality of your presence so that your Holy Spirit might have complete sway as we examine our own hearts this morning, the needs that we have to face this new year. May we truly feel your presence as we share these elements of bread and juice together. May we bring vessels of honor. May we bring clean hearts, cleansed by your blood, to your table. And in the precious name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The arrangements had been made and the room in which to eat the meal had been secured. And the food for the feast had arrived for the group, consisting of Jesus and his 12 closest followers. And they're present to celebrate an event that had happened 1,200 years before. All the Jews were doing this. They still do it today. The main purpose of the gathering was to remember God's provision, how he had broken through time and history in such a dramatic way to gain the freedom of his people from Egypt. So in gratitude, God's people should never forget God's deliverance. So the special time of Passover was set aside every year to remember, and still is. Remembering was and still is a dominant characteristic of the Jewish religious observances today. And it was a personal thing for the Jews. It was a time of remembering God cared for their quest, for their slavery, for their suffering. He provided their redemption. This wasn't just some ancient ancestors that participated in the Exodus. They remembered the Red Sea crossing, the desert wandering, and God's provision holding back the Jordan. For 15 miles, God held the Jordan back so over 2 million people could cross over. And this time it was to the promised land. And he said, put the 12 stones there and be sure you remember. The individual felt like it had happened to them with that kind of mindset. And the Jews were personally engaged in remembering God's love and mercy and divine guidance. Through the gathering of the Sabbath and the seven religious festivals, generation after generation of Jews become aware of their rich heritage that they have. They worship the one true living God. Don't you wish they, you know, that? Do you know there's a passage in Revelation, I forget exactly where it is, that says in one day, during the end time, in one day, all of Israel will be saved. That means all the living ones of that one day will be saved. That's exciting. There are a lot of Jewish people out there. And so what a day that's going to be of rejoicing in heaven. His chosen people that we are grafted into, those people, they will come to know the Lord Jesus, the Jesus you sang about this morning. And even today among Israelites, remembering is a high priority. Remembering the sacrifices made. Do you know that every army officer that goes into the Israeli, IDF. Every officer has to go to Masada. You know, Masada is, you remember, it's the Dead Sea fortress where 960 Jewish zealots committed suicide rather than to become the slaves of Rome. Do you know what they did? Rome said that they were out, they were starving to death, that's why they committed suicide. No, it wasn't. They put, from the history that I've read about, they put all the food they had, which was quite an abundance, on the tables and right into the area to make sure that the Romans saw when they came in and found all of these bodies, 960 of them, that they didn't do this because they were starving to death. They did it because they did not want to be slaves of Rome. And so, remember Jewish patriotism. So when an officer goes in there, and there's a saying that he has to say these five words, Masada shall not fall again. Masada shall not fall again. Every officer that gets sworn in, part of the oath. Likewise, the museum and the Holocaust has a similar message. Remember the 6 million Jews who lost their lives under Hitler. And there's two words they always say, never again. Never again. Today, in the new year, It's time for us to remember, as the children of God, Christ, the covenant giver, and his sacrifice, and the freedom that we have today from sin. Nothing else could do that for you. David couldn't do it for you, as great a king as he was, Solomon. Jesus gave his followers then and now a new reason to remember. And through Jesus Christ, God established a new covenant with his people, Jewish and Gentile believers, a new covenant that provided a means of forgiveness that went far beyond the old sacrifices we've just been talking about, to freedom from sin. And in this covenant, people would know the depths of God's love and the length that he would go to assure people of his desire to have a personal relationship with them. I hope if there's someone here today and you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that today would be that day. The cross was squarely in the middle of the upper room. I want to say that again. When they got to that middle of that room, the cross was squarely in the middle of the upper room. In a few hours, that old rugged cross would work its purpose of breaking the body and shedding the blood of our precious Savior. So here this morning, that's why we're here. Because Jesus said, come, and when you do this, do it in remembrance of me. We remember Jesus Christ also as the servant. After walking the dusty roads in Palestine, there was guests would come in and they'd have their feet washed by someone, usually a lowly servant. And it was a gesture of hospitality. And that servant would do that. And most of you know what Jesus did. He came in and there wasn't one. And he didn't say a word. He just began to wash their feet. You know, if Christians, somebody suggested that if Christians had uniforms to wear, that it would have to include a towel around the waist. But the towel would serve as a reminder of Jesus humbling himself as a servant and of the Christians' need to do the very same thing that he did. Let us remember this morning, no task, and this is a good church, I know it, no task is too small to do as a believer. We are to be servants in his army. This morning, we must also remember that Jesus Christ, he was betrayed, and the events in the upper room that evening should cause us to remember his announcement of his disciples that one of them would betray him. And when Jesus declared that betrayal, there was questions all going around. Is it I? Is it me? Lord, is it me? Disciple after disciple. We need to realize this morning that we too, by word or by attitude or deed, we are capable of betraying our Lord, even today. We need to search our souls this morning, prayerfully this morning, and ask the question, is it I? Maybe we have pushed Jesus further from our heart than he was a month ago, a year ago. It is I who has failed to accept his offer. I pray that each one of us will live this next year a life of victory over sin, that we will be faithful, that we will surrender to his lordship. You know, I think everybody here, most everybody here is saved. But is everybody here, is Jesus Lord of your life? Our prayer should be this next year that everyone here become, that if that's not so, that it will become so, that he will not just be your Savior, but he'll be your Lord. To remember Jesus
He will restore us, and he and his Father are one. We need to remember his sacrifice for our freedom from sin and the old rugged cross and his pain when my sin and your sin was poured out on his sinless body. To remember that Jesus has called me to follow his example of being a servant to other people. To remember to search my soul, lest denial or even betrayal be found in my heart. Lord willing, next week we'll get back, if the Lord allows it, to the Beatitudes, and it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, and I think it's befitting it. That would be the one we'd be coming. Blessed are the pure in heart. For what happens to the pure in heart? For they shall see God. I pray this morning as we, I want to do something a little different this morning. What I want to do is I want you to turn to Psalm 51, and we're going to be closing in a few minutes, and you're going to have the Lord's Supper just here, just a few minutes. But I want us to take Psalm 51 and verses 1 through 17. And what I want us to do is I want us to pray this prayer. This is the prayer of David, King David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he'd gone into Bathsheba, and he said, "Thou art the man." And it wasn't long after that he wrote this song. And I want us to read this. And what I want to do is, as I read it, I want it to be our prayer. I want you all to bow with me. And this is our prayer as we prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin. It is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities, and create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, and cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee, and deliver me from the blood guiltness, O God. Thou, God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are broken, a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Lord Jesus, as we come to the table, Lord, help us all take a good look at our hearts. O Lord, if there's anything at all between me and you, Lord, help us. Help me, Father, as a pastor. Help me, Father, to turn away from my sin and turn to you. O Lord, that my heart, Lord, might be pure so I could see you. God, help us to see you this morning as we come to this table. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I just want you to